على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Maker, Creator and Sustainer of the Universe. We commence by sending darud and salam also upon the final and greatest messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah, wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader and chief of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidul Mursaleen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We send salutations, greetings, salam, greetings of peace and mercy upon him. And today we commence with our lesson on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a continuation of our lessons for the last few weeks that we have been engaged in. Today, the lesson we commence with, alhamdulillah, on this Sunday, is commenced with a brief summary of the lesson of last week. Last week, the 10th of May, Sunday, the 10th of May 2009, 14th of Jamadil Awwal of the year 1430, this is a brief summary of that lesson. And today we will continue, being the 17th of May, we continue with our lesson. The 17th of May today is, and it is equivalent also to the month of Jamadil Awwal. Alhamdulillah, it is the 21st of Jamadil Awwal today, with our lesson on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are looking at various aspects which have made him so great as the final messenger of Allah. In last week, very briefly, we did factors number 51 to 57. And very, very briefly, to summarize, factor number 51 that you dealt with the fact that the salah that has been blessed to this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only one that is similar to that of the malaikas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to make the salah of the ummah Muhammadiyah ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu was salam the same as the salah that is performed, the qibla direction that is performed by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They face on the same angle and also perform, the safs are performed similarly to ours. So in that factor, we recognize no previous Nabi, Rasul, Messenger, Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had been granted that blessing, that their salah was the same as the salah of the Anbiya's, salah of the Malaikas. Only the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been blessed with the salah of the Anbiya's. In other words, the same kind of salah. This is a great blessing, and it informs us of the great eminence and dignity, the status of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallam and his ummah naturally. And then the 52nd factor, that was factor number 51. Factor number 52 was, the Quran is the only kitab, book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine revelation, not only safeguarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also the eternal book of revelation for mankind that will be used by them from the time it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way through till the end of time, till the coming of the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, and thereafter. In the hereafter also, the Quran will be the prevalent and dominant book of Allah, revealed book of Allah, kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into the akhirah, in Jannah also it will be the Quran that will be recited. So for eternity, the Quran is that miraculous divine revelation which alone has been granted continuity. Therefore, factor number 52 tells us also of the eminence and dignity and the status, elevated status of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Factor number 53, this is a very brief summary, factor number 53 is that this ummah has been granted only this ummah has been granted that privilege that in salah at the end we greet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. That this particular greeting to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been established in our salah. Alhamdulillah for that. And then the 54th factor was that on the day of Qiyamah, all the Anbiya's will be given flags under the canopy of which will be their particular ummahs. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have the largest, the biggest flag of all, which is called in the hadith the liwa'ul hamd, the flag of praise. And it will accommodate all the believers from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the final messenger of Allah, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallam. All those who have not been accommodated under the flags of others will be accommodated under them, and the ummah naturally under the flag, the riwa'ul hamd of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them will be included and accommodated under his flag, and he will be the only one that will have that blessing awarded to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was factor number 54. Factor number 55 is that only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among all the messengers of Allah shall be granted permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the spokesperson and the intercessor on behalf of the whole of mankind on the day of Qiyamah. He will be the only one amongst all the Anbiya's and Rasuls that will be the one who will make shafa'at, and he will speak on behalf of all the malai, all the anbiya's and rasuls. He will be the only one who will be granted permission for that particular purpose as the representative of all the anbiya's and rasuls, and the whole of mankind will then recognize his daraja, his status and his position. Factor number 56 was that it is only the Ummah Muhammadiyya ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah will be granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as a result of the wudu, the ablution that they make in the dunya before prayer, before making salah, or before making tilawat, or before making ibadah, the wudu they have made will be the reason for them having their shining limbs, glowing brightly limbs on the day of Qiyamah. All of mankind will be able to see this is the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will be recognized. When they march through the Hawza Kawthar, at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recognize his ummah, and they will be brought to him to drink from the fountain of Kawthar. And this is how the brightness and the glow from their limbs will make them recognizable on the day of Qiyamah. And then the 57th factor, the last factor that we dealt with in last week's lesson, was that the names of all the prophets have been mentioned in the Quran Majid. But in the case of Rasulullah sallam, his name has only been taken once, and the rest of the time the respective titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been stated, have been mentioned in the Quran Majid. All those factors, each one of them, from factor number 51 right up to 57, tells us of the preeminence, the dignity and the elevated status of Khatam al-Nabiyyin and Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue now in this week's lesson from where we left off last week. We go on to factor number 58. Fact number 58 is as follows. The other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were called by their names, by their followers. In other words, the followers used to call their prophets by their names. But in the case of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a manner of address to take his name was not permitted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricted that, and the companions, Sahaba Ikram, were told vis-à-vis the Quran that they must not take his name directly. They must address him by his title. Yani, they must call him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they must call him Khatamun Nabiyyin, whichever way, but they must not Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will always notice in the ahadith that they always addressed him never as by his name, always by his title and address. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how they addressed him. He had to be addressed with the utmost respect and dignity, even by his own followers, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala mitmain, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had reminded them and he had taught them in the Quran Majid very distinctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, La taj'alu du'a ar-Rasuli baynakum ka du'a'i ba'dikum ba'dan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, deem not the summons of the messenger among yourselves like you summoning one another. Surah Nur, 24th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 63. Do not address him like you address one another. Like you call one another, do not call him in that particular way. Do not say, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is disrespectful towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Call him Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Call him Abul Qasim. Call him any other title, the father of Qasim, whichever way, but do not call him by his name. Deem not the calling, the summons of the messenger of Allah, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among yourselves, like you summon one another. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be called by them with great respect towards him, and not by his name or by any other description. This was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sahaba ikram, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never faltered or ever addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but in the most respectful and dignified way, knowing that if they desired the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have to show obedience, love, respect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would have to show dignity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no other formula but this one, and it is commendable that the Sahaba ikram showed so much love and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in several battles they would actually form a protective human shield around him to prevent spears and arrows from reaching him. The Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in showed immense love and devotion towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times, and they were bewildered and totally aghast when his demise took place. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala couldn't accept it. He couldn't digest it. And he went around sword in hand saying, anybody that says he is dead will have to face me. He could not accept it. But that was temporary. He said, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala calmed them all down. And at that time he said that you must remember he was only a human. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. And like everybody else, he had to pass away. So he has passed away, he has gone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must accept it. Umar then calmed down, and he also accepted the fact that it was so decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced death, and that he had died. So it was accepted. But what I'm saying to you here is that it is commendable, the devotion, the respect in which the Sahaba ikram held Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This particular factor, that he should be not addressed by his name, as was the case with the followers of all the other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a pertinent factor, very important, that shows us the dignity, the eminence, the respect, and the elevated status of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah, and as the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the chief and leader of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in what prominence he is held by the whole of human civilization, by the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the time of the Sahaba ikram, this was the dignity. None of us addresses him also directly by his name. We all say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or we say Khatamun Nabiyyin. Or we say Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Or we say Sayyidul Mursaleen. These are the ways by which we address, because this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was respected by the Sahaba kiram. The same procedure did not apply to the other prophets, who, as we shall see here under, were addressed by their people, by their names. I want to give you a few examples now of how the previous generations, the followers of the previous Ambiyas, in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how their people used to address them. For example, in the case of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, this is how the Yahud used to address him. The Yahud and Nasara, the Bani Israel, this is how they used to address him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Qalu ya Musa ja'allana ilahan kama lahum aliha. They said, who? The people of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, they said, O Musa, make for us a god, an idol to worship, like the gods and idols that they have. Now, I give you a brief background to this particular ayat of the Quran Majid. What happened is that when the Yahud were released from captivity, from enslavement in Egypt under the rule of the pharaohs, then Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took them. And at the Red Sea, which was in flood, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam threw his staff, the stick that he walked with, he threw it by the command of Allah into the Red Sea, and the waters parted, and so he and his followers marched across that sea, the Red Sea. They marched across it. And then, of course, what happened is once they crossed over, the soldiers of Pharaoh that were following them, that were chasing them, so to say, also got into that opening, that gap. When they saw the gap, they also went into it. But by that time, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the people that he had rescued, they were already across. And what happened then is, once they crossed the river, the Red Sea once again closed up. In other words, the waters began to flow. That gap that had opened up as a miracle through the staff of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that miracle came to an end, and then Pharaoh himself and his soldiers were drowned. Pharaoh himself drowned. So what happened is, look at this. These people that had been rescued, the Yahud, when they went across and they came to a land past this, when they came to a place, Aaron, then this is what they said to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Qalu ya Musa ja'al lana ilahan kama lahum aliha. When they went there, they saw that there were a people there. I think it was the Phoenicians. When they crossed over and they came, the people of that place through which they had to cross, they had to pass and go through that, in other words, just before the Sinai Peninsula, when they came there, the people there were idolaters. They were worshipping idols, very fancy idols they had. So when the Yahud saw these idols, they turned around and told Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who had been inviting them towards the worship of one Allah, and that they must stop shirk and stop worshipping idols. They still dared to tell Musa alayhi salam. They said, O Musa, look at the address here. They addressed Nabi Musa alayhi salam directly. Qalu ya Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sahabas were told not to address him by his name. But look, in previous generations, They were called by their names. They said, O Musa, take for us a god, an idol to worship, like the gods and idols that these people, these Phoenicians have, these people the way we are crossing and passing across, these people that are worshipping idols, you know, give us an idol like this. Grant us that we also worship idols. This was it. This is in Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 138. When the Bani Israel escaped from Egypt under Nabi Musa a.s., crossed the Red Sea and went into the Sinai Peninsula, they saw the local people, they were worshipping idols. So, instead of worshipping the omnipotent one Allah of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam, who had just rescued them from slavery and saved them from misery and torture and torment and punishment, they were ever ready to become idolaters, mushrikeen, as this ayat proves. Another proof, here it is. Now we look at the Nasara. This is how they spoke to their prophet, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. They said, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, hal yastati'u rabbak, hal yastati'u rabbuka, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, hal yastati'u rabbuk. The disciples said, O Isa, the son of Maryam, can your Rabb, your sustainer, send down to us a table set with food from heaven? Hal yastati'u rabbuka? Is your sustainer, is your Rabb? Tell your Rabb, ask your Rabb that he must send down for us a table that is set fully laden with food from heaven. Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah of the Quran, Majid, ayat number 112. Imagine these people, the Bani Israel, the Yahud and the Nasara. First of all, disrespectfully they used to address both Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Call them directly by their names. No respect at all whatsoever. And then look at the request. The first one asked Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam whether they can turn back to shirk. They can worship idols. And Nabi Musa alayhi salam, remember, was a powerful messenger of Allah, and he kept telling them about Tawheed and the worship of one Allah. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu was salam was a powerful messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and kept inviting the Nasara towards the worship of one Allah. Yet look at them, they dare to ask him for a miracle, they want food, and they want him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down a table fully laden with food, to send down to us a table set with food from heaven. Such were the requests of the Bani Israel from Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam for miracles to be demonstrated to them in order to believe in their prophethood, with denial uppermost in their minds most of the time, and even attempts at disrespecting, disgracing, and even torturing and tormenting, and finally eliminating their own prophets, disrespecting and disgracing and tormenting them, and even killing them. This was the case with Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam when they eventually decided to crucify him. And it was then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up into the heavens, from whence he will come down again. He will descend as a sign of Qiyamah and return to earth one day. Then here is another example. The followers of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, this is how they addressed him, says the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qalu ya Lutu inna rusulu rabbik. The angel said to Nabi Lut alayhi salam, they said, O Lut, we are messengers from thy Rabb. So even the malaikas used to address, the angels used to address the prophets of that time by their name. Alu, Yalu. Now this is not disrespect as far as angels are concerned. But what we are showing you here, what I'm trying to show you here, is that in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was always addressed, even by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and other malaikas, always with utmost respect and dignity. Nobody addressed him directly by the name Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As in the case of Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, and now Nabi. Qalu Ya Lutu Inna Rusulu Rabbik. The malaikas that came to visit Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, we are messengers from your Rabb. Surah Hud, 11th surah of the Quran, mentions ayat number 81. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam had descended into debauchery, and they wished to plunder the home and the family of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent several angels to safeguard him and his family, and to then destroy his people who were bent on assaulting him and his family. Thus we see that even the angels have addressed the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their names. In this instance, again we see the respectful terminology and dignified mode of addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahabas, Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, have always used the most respectful words in addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and have in not a single instance ever shown any disrespect, any doubt, any alienation or strangeness towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has himself stated that no previous prophet had ever been entrusted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with closer, warmer, more respectful and loving companions than he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself. And this was proven time and time again by the Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Thus, we learn that the Sahabas always addressed the Khatimul Nabiyyin and Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and never directly by his name, as was previously the case with the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their followers. This shows the immense stature, the eminence and the dignity in which the Sahaba ikram held Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, in keeping with Allah's command, they also, meaning the Sahabas, they also observed the best manners, always gentleness, always politeness towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as never entering without knocking, always asking permission, always greeting him first or trying to, never bowing to him, always walking a step behind him, never back chatting him, never doubting anything which he told them to do or said to them or explained to them, always accepting his direction, his instruction and his actions and his practices as being of divinely ordained origin as a sunnah, noting, remembering, memorizing and spreading the beliefs and teachings of the deen as received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both during his time and after his time, to others. Their charity towards the poor and the struggling, who hardly had food or clothing, was remarkable even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Visitors, some very poor, shabby, used to come into the Masjid al-Nabawi, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to appoint sahabas. He used to ask them, who has food in his home? Who has clothing for these people? And Nabi Karim, sahabas used to always, even the little that they had, Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala al-Jumayin, used to always be ready and prepared to give them whatever they could. They had very little food at home, but they would still, to oblige Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take these visitors to their homes. They would go home and they would say to their wives, prepare food. And she used to say, well, I have only enough food for two people, for you and for me and our children. So the Sahabas used to say, if that is the case, then what you do is put the light, the lamp, put it towards the visitor's side and keep our side in darkness. We will make sounds as if we are eating, but there is nothing for us, so we will give the food over to the visitor. Let the visitor have his fill, let them eat. We will remain hungry. it is quite all right. We will drink water, it's quite all right. And this is what they used to do. Many a time, there's so many different incidents of this kind where the Sahabas, who had just enough food for themselves, would give that food over to the visitors that had come to the Masjid Nabawi, and at the request of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would pass their food over and give it to the visitors, and they would go hungry. Many such incidents have been recorded. Many other recordings of the Sahabas feeding others whilst having nothing for themselves. They would also generously donate clothing to others. This endeared them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and an unbreakable bond was established between them and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the Sahaba ikram in the Quran Majid by saying, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them, meaning the Sahabas, as they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 100. In this ayah, in this ayat, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for their loyalty and their devotion to Khatamun Nabiyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an outstanding factor that gives prominence, eminence, elevated status and dignity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never before to any other messenger of Allah or prophet of Allah has such dignity been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as was given to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we move over to fact number 59, which is as follows. The other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala experienced the journey of Mi'raj in various forms, and only to the lower heavens, to below the seventh heaven, in other words. Their journeys were of a spiritual content, which we say ruhani, or in the state of a dream or vision, which means a manami miraj, or of limited physical content, which we say jismani. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam was raised to the fourth heaven, and Nabi Idris alayhi salam was elevated to the fifth heaven. In the same way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced several ruhani spiritual mi'raj journeys in his lifetime. Before the physical one, he experienced several spiritual mi'rajas, mi'raj journeys into the upper realms of the heavens. But he experienced one physical mi'raj, ascension to the seventh heaven, to the Sidratul Muntaha, the highest heaven, which is the highest and most elevated heaven, to a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he was blessed with the blessings of the five times a day salah, made the equivalent in rewards of 50 times salah daily. In a hadith, it is stated as follows: Summa sa'ada bi fawqa sab'a samawat wa ataytu sidratul muntaha. This hadith is in Nisa'i, and it is narrated by Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is what he says. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I was elevated above the seven heavens until I reached the Sidratul Muntaha. Hadith from Nisa'i. This miraculous event of the physical and certainly not spiritual and not visionary or dream state ascension mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the culmination of his torrid and persecuted stage of life in Makkah Mukarrama at the hands of his enemies and persecutors, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him with this unique and unparalleled journey into the upper heavens, a feat which had never been achieved or blessed to any previous messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this extraordinary, miraculous journey established the eminence, the dignity and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Khatib al-Nabiyyin, final messenger of Allah, and as the Sayyid al-Mursaleen, leader of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Miraj journey, the physical Miraj journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Masjid al-Aqsa, going up physically with the Buraq, with Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, through the first heaven, to the second, then the third, then through the fourth, through the fifth, through the sixth, and from there thence to the seventh, and then to the Sidratul Muntaha, the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is above the seventh heaven, proves the factor of him being the Khatib al-Nabiyyin and Sayyid al-Mursaleen and Rahmatul lil-Alameen. It also proves at a period of time when mankind had none or very little scientific knowledge of the formation of this universe, that there existed heavens above, seven in all. Mankind is yet unaware, even in this, the 21st century, mankind is still unaware of the correct tally of heavens that exist, and are still in the process, even in our time, of discovering newer planets and newer galaxies, about which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed mankind 15 centuries ago, since he had visited and passed through them on the physical journey of Mi'raj. I keep saying physical journey because that is part of our iman. The accuracy of his reports have never been and can never be rejected or denied by the scientific community ever, except on the basis of bias, envy, and also hatred and enmity of both Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Deen of Islam. What is also surprising are the hypocrites within the Muslim community who reject the physical journey of Miraj on the basis of it being improbable and unlikely, and therefore they refer to it as a dream or a vision or a spiritual journey. They are incredibly naive and ignorant of the capacity and ability of the Anbiya's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they have been endowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with supernatural skills to perform miracles by and through endowment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This denial by hypocrites within the Muslim Ummah is part of the signs that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied about, which will be seen emerging in the Ummah as they follow the pattern and example of the Bani Israel, as stated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who preceded them and who perverted their religion and their revealed scriptures and corrupted the teachings of their prophets. In other words, these hypocrites, munafiqeen, within the Muslim Ummah shall also be bent on perversion of the Deen of Islam, like the Bani Israel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also assured the Ummah, however, that they will not succeed in their evil designs. The hypocrites, the munafiqeen, will not succeed in their evil designs, because there shall always be in the Ummah such upholders of the Deen of Islam who will prevent such sacrilege and perversion. And though they will be few, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with overwhelming power to eradicate and eliminate the forces of hypocrisy and perversion. We end this particular number 59, factor number 59, by making this dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the villains within. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. Now we move on to factor number 60, which shows the preeminence, dominance, the elevated status, dignity of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah, and as Sayyidul Mursaleen, the chief and leader of all the messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What makes him so great? What makes him so famous? What makes him so eminent? These are the factors we are looking at. We have dealt and concluded 59 particular factors, and we move now to factor number 60. The previous prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The previous prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to contend with numerous false charges and allegations leveled against them by both their own people as well as their enemies on the outside, mainly the rulers and others who benefited from the ignorance of their people that the Anbiya's had come to guide. Quite often, these were the priests and religious bigots who promoted shirk, idolatry, kufr, and wished to keep people in subjugation, and who feared that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were going to free their people from such bondage. And so they made these allegations against the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping thereby to convince people to oppose and to even persecute the messengers, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to even often kill them, at times quite brutally. There have been messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been sawed in half. Some have been choked to death. Others have been flung off cliffs to fall down and smash their heads and their bones and die. Sahabas, Anbiya's, messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been brutally killed by their followers in many instances. For example, the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam alleged that he was misguiding them and that he was not properly focused. This is what they stated. The people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam formed a group, and they came to him one day. The leaders came to him one day, and this is what they said, which is recorded in the Quran Majid. They said, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي ضَلَالَةٌ وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَأَنْسَهُ لَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيمُ. The leaders of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam's people came to him one day, and this is what they said. The leaders of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam's people said, we see you wandering in error. Your mind is not right. You are not thinking properly. You are acting foolishly. You are in error. You are misguiding us. Oh Nuh, you are misleading us. Nabi Nuh qala ya qawmi. Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, laysa bi dalalatun walakinni rasulun min rabbil alameen. Oh my people, I am not lost in error. I am not deceiving you. I am not mad. But I am a messenger of my Rabb, of the sustainer of the universe. I convey to you the message of my Rabb, my sustainer. And I give you good advice. I give you good counsel. And I know from Allah what you know not. Ya qawmi, O my people, laysa bi dalalatun, I'm not misguiding you. I'm not misleading you. I'm not deceiving you. Walakinni rasulun min rabbil alameen. I'm a messenger of Allah, of our Rabb, of my Creator. I'm His messenger. Uballighukum risalati rabbi. I have come to give you the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, convey you the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I give you good advice and good counsel. I'm directing you to the right path. Why do you act in this particular way? Surah Araf, 7th surah of the Quran Majid, verses number 60 to 62. In the same way, the people of Nabi Hud alayhi salatu wasalam alleged that he was acting foolishly and that he was deceiving them by telling them about the creator and sustainer of the worlds, and they should worship no other besides one Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came to him. Who? They came, Nabi Hud alayhi salam's people came, and they alleged as follows. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاحَةٍ وَإِنَّا لَنَزُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاحَةٌ وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينَ صدق الله العظيم. The leaders of the unbelievers among his people said, who? The unbelievers, Nabi Hud alayhi salam's people, would not accept Tawheed. They would not accept his Risalat. And look what they came and told him. The leaders of the unbelievers formed a group and they came to him. And they said to him, we see you acting foolishly and we think you are a liar. Imagine, Nabi Hud alayhi salam was a powerful prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what they came and they told him. Inna lanaraka fi safahatin. You know, we think you are a very foolish man, O Hud. Wa inna lanazunnuka minal kazibin. And O Hud, we think you are lying to us. You are deceiving us. You are cheating us. O Hud, alayhi salatu wassalam. Nabi Hud alayhi salam looks at them. He feels sorry for them. And he replies and he says to them, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِي, O my people, لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَةٌ, I'm not a foolish person. I'm not misleading you. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, but I'm a messenger. A messenger of Allah, who is the Lord of the world, the creator and sustainer of the worlds. أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي, I am giving you the message. As a messenger, I'm bringing you the true message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our sustainer. Wa ana lakum nasihun ameen. I am a true advisor to you. I'm giving you good advice, solid advice, rightful advice. Surah Araf, 7th surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 66, 67, and 68. Similarly, that was Nabi Hud alayhi salam's people. Look how rude they were, how disrespectful they were to their particular messengers. And then let me give you another example. The people of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, they had gone out of the area in which they lived to have celebrations, which gave Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam the opportunity to destroy their idols, the idols that his people worship, to prove to his people the folly of shirk, of idolatry. When his people returned, they went to their temple. That's what they used to do. They went to the temple. They were shocked to find that their idols were shattered and destroyed. Since Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam had often spoken to them about their foolishness in idolatry, in idol worship, they realized that this must be his handiwork. One of them reported to the people and he said, you know, I have heard Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam say that we are mad to worship idols. We are foolish to worship idols. This destruction of the idols must be his work. Let's go and check it out. Let's go catch him and bring him here. And so they realized this must be his handiwork. So they caught him, or we will call him, they arrested him and they brought him. They brought me in front, and this is what the Quran reports. This is how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, when they asked him, O Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, did you destroy our, did you smash them? Did you shatter them? Did you break them? Qalu, أَأَنْتَ فَأَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. His people said, are you the one, O Ibrahim? Are you the one who did this to our gods? O Ibrahim, are you the one who did this to our gods? You destroyed, broke them, shattered them, our gods? Are you responsible for this? Ibrahim alayhi salam replied to them and he said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. This was done by the biggest one. You see this big idol here? This big boss? He is the one. This big one, he destroyed them all. You see, you people believe in gods. You believe these are idols. You believe they are living beings. So this big one here, he took this axe and he smashed all of them up, you see. This is his work. This was done by their biggest one. And you know what Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam told them? He said, you know what, O people? Ask him. He is the culprit. Ask them. Ask these idols. They will tell you that this big one is the one who took this axe and smashed them up. Ask these idols. Ask them if they can speak with any intelligence. If these, you worship them, you prostrate to them, and you bow to them. So ask these idols that you worship, if they have any intelligence, they can speak or they can hear, they can listen to you. Ask them how this big one picked up this axe and broke them all up. He bust them all up. Ask him. If you have any sense, you people have any sense, then for worshipping these stone idols, then ask them. Let them talk to you. Why are you asking me? Ask them. Surah Anbiya, 21st Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 62 and 63. In this extraordinary way, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam proved to his people the shallowness and foolishness of worshipping stone idols, dead idols, idols that can neither benefit them nor harm them. Though this fact did sink into many of them, this habit of idolatry was so deeply sunk into them, it makes people senseless. It makes them bereft of intelligence, that the rabble rouses among them, move the foolish ones to making a huge bonfire to burn Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and so to teach him a lesson. You see, there's always people like this in a group. The rabble rouses, and they got together and they said, you know, if this is not the work of this big idol, this is the work of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He did not deny it. All he said, you ask the big one. Ask these other smaller idols and they will tell you this big one. He picked up this axe and he destroyed them. Now these foolish people knew that it is impossible. How can the idols, the big idol, destroy the other ones? But the troublemakers amongst them got together and they said, you know, we need to teach Ibrahim a lesson. Alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to teach Khalilullah a lesson. Therefore, go gather firewood. And for days they gathered firewood and they built a huge bonfire, attracted lots of people, and in there they threw Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu. However, by the decree of command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was not to be, and the raging tornado of fire, close to its heat, people could not even come, failed to burn the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messenger of Allah, known as Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From that time, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam became known as Khalilullah, this friend, close friend, lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again you have an example of a people who, or the nature of the people, and how they behaved. Then there is the tale of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu. I give you another story, the third story. Then there is the tale of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, when a group of abomination seekers from among his people came to his home to satisfy their unnatural passions, and Nabi Lut alayhi salam felt helpless. He was not aware. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. At that time, some visitors had come, knocked on his door, and some visitors had come to the house of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam just before the troublemakers came there. So his people had become abomination seekers. They had become perverts. And what happened then? That they came and attacked the house of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And just before then, say an hour or 2 hours before then, some people had come to visit Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not recognize them, but he welcomed them. And he allowed them to come into his house, and these people came into his house. He was not aware that they were malaikas. Nabi Lut alayhi salam was not aware, because they came in human, as human beings, they came into his house. So he welcomed them, he took them to his home, and he was preparing food and so on for them. And then these people attacked his home. So when they attacked his home to satisfy their unnatural passions, he felt helpless. Who? Nabi Lut alayhi salam felt helpless, not aware that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were visiting him at that time, had been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him and his family from their infamy, except his wife. This is what the Quran says. Qala law anna li bikum quwwatan aw awi ila ruknin shadid. قالوا يا لوط إنا رسل ربك لن يصلوا إليك. Nabi Lut alayhi salam, Nabi Lut alayhi salam said, when the people surrounded his house and were requesting that his daughters must come out, that they need to abuse them, so Nabi Lut alayhi salam said, would that I had the power to suppress you evil ones, you troublemakers that I want this type, that you behave in this particular way. Would that I had the power to overpower you. You know, this is the dua that he's making. لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. Would that I had the power to suppress you, to prevent you from doing the evil that you want to do, or that I could find some powerful support, that I can find some powerful support, something that my Allah gives me to protect my family. This is what he made. And as he says that, the malaikas reply from inside. The malaikas, who are aware what is going to happen, قالوا, the malaika say to him, Ya Lut, inna rusulu rabbik. O Lut, we are the angels, we are the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the messengers of the Rabb. لن يسلوا إليه. They will never be able to touch you. These troublemakers, these people that have come to attack you, they can do nothing to you. We are the angels of Allah. We are the messengers of Allah. O Lut, we are messengers, angels from your sustainer. By no means will they be able to reach you. By no means will they be able to harm you or your family at all whatsoever. They will not be able to reach you. Surah Hud, 11th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 80 and 81. Thus, when Nabi Lut alayhi salam saved from catastrophe at the hands of his people, who were duly destroyed by the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm adding a note to this, that in our day and age, this kind of evil passions has begun to take over in many, many countries of the world. Those who practice wayward and unnatural sexual abominations and try to justify their evil passions and urges by unusual pretensions and false explanations, such as we were born that way, or that it is a natural urge, or that it is the calling of this age and society and the times in which we live in, are of those who find pleasure in sexual abominations and unnatural urges, and then they try to justify these with a flurry of excuses, they must remember that they are going to die one day. And when they die, they are going to inevitably return to their Rabb, to their Khalik, to their Malik, to their Maker and their Sustainer. And then they will realize the folly and foolishness of their ways. Then there are those who dismiss death and its aftermath as a load of myths, and they also will discover what happens to them after death. And I am making this prayer that in this Muslim Ummah, the people that do this type of things, that indulge in this type of abominations, be careful, because your punishment will be very, very severe. Keep away from this. Allah has not created anybody with such sexual urges at all whatsoever. You use your head and use your heart. Make your iman strong. Abstain from this type of nonsense. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from all forms of sin and evil. Ameen. In the instance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, whenever any allegation was leveled against him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared him of them in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's own words. I give you a few examples. Now, carrying on with the same number that we started this particular sermon, item number, factor number 60, we can carrying on with that. In the case of the other Anbiya's, I'm giving you a profile now, a comparison. In the case of the other Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the approach, right? Which I've given you now. I gave you three examples. Now look, in the case of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the approach? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular instance. This is what happens. Whenever any allegation was leveled against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared him of them in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's own words. Here are a few examples. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, by his qudrat and his omnipotence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and guarded the truth of the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, after having said that, I need to give you some examples. For example, when the unbelievers, the mushrikeen and kafirin of Makkah Mukarrama, alleged that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was misleading them and giving them wrong signals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in very clear terms to them that this was a blatant lie and perversion. The Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have to say it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remember, these were all Arabs, Arab speaking, and everybody could read the Quran, and they all used to. Whether they did it publicly or secretly doesn't matter, but they used to listen to the Quran. They knew everything that came out of the Quran. The Arabic of the Quran was fascinating to them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them as follows: when they accused or alleged that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was misleading them, he was misguiding them, you know, and so on. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the protection of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran says, مَا ذَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِكُ أَنِ الْحَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَى أَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Najm, 53rd Surah of the Quran Majid, verses 2, 3, 4 and 5, which I've recited to you. Your companion, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people of Makkah, your companion is neither astray nor is he misled. nor does he speak out of his own desire. It is absolutely divine revelation, wahi, which he receives as wahi, as revelation from Allah. He is taught by one Almighty Allah, the mighty in power. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, and this is the reply the kafirin and mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, who were making all kinds and leveling all kinds of allegations against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah came and cleared Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling them, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ, that your companion, this Rasul of mine, he is not astray, he is not misled. These charges you are making against him, these are totally false charges. He is not misled, neither is he misleading you. He is not astray. He does not speak out of his own desire, which you are saying. What he is saying is wahi. It is divine revelation which he receives from me, and I am the all-powerful. In huwa illa wahyu yuha allamahu shadidul quwa. I am the all-powerful, almighty, the omnipotent one. He receives it directly from me. I reveal to him what he says to you, and the guidance, the teachings, and the practices which he gives you is from me. Surah Najm 53, ayat number 225. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accused by the kafirin and mushrikeen of being possessed, of being mad, and of being unable to function normally, in this way attributing everything coming from him into the dustbin and unworthy of hearing and listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared their false allegations as follows. What happened here is that the kafirin and mushrikeen of Arabia, what they used to say is that he is possessed, he is not right in his head, he is mad, he can't function normally. His head doesn't function normally. And what all these things they were accusing and alleging against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to his rescue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how Allah did it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to the kafirin and mushrikeen of Arabia as follows. He said, Allah says, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. You are not, by the grace of your sustainer, mad or possessed. Surah Qalam 68, Surah of Quran Majid, ayat number 2. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. Oh, you are not majnoon, you are not mad, you are not possessed. My messenger, my Rasul, he is not mad, he is not possessed by a demon or anything of the kind. He is sane, he receives divine revelation from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the jawab furthermore, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. Your companion, this Rasul of mine, is not one who is possessed by any kind of jinn or any kind of madness. وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. He is not possessed, he is not mad. The second ayat, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ, is from Surah Takwir, Surah number 81, ayat number 22. Various ways were tried by the unbelievers, kuffar and mushrikeen, to draw attention away from the words of a divine revelation and inspired instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the unbelievers in their attempts to draw attention away from him. His enemies began to allege that he was a poet who was fabricating and drawing mystical and allegorical allusions and fantasies. Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies directly to them, you are alleging, you are saying that he has delusions, he has dreams, and so on. You are making all these kinds of allegations against my beloved Rasul, there is no such thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to them, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَائِرٍ. This is verily the word of an honorable messenger of Allah. It is not the word of a poet. He is no poet. This is not the work of a poet. This is wahi. This is divine revelation which he is giving you and passing you and teaching you. This ayat which I recited, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَائِرٍ, is from Surah Haqqah, Surah number 69, ayat number 40 and 41. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared them again, cleared his Rasul again, his beloved Habib again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشَّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We, Allah, have not instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in poetry. We did not teach him poetry. What he is reciting to you, that is the Quran. It is wahi. It is divine revelation. We have not taught him poetry. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشَّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. No, is it suited to him to be a poet? He is no poet. He is my messenger. He is my prophet. He is my Rasul. What he is giving you is wahi, divine revelation. The second one, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشَّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ, is from Surah Yasin, 36th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 69. Then the detractors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to claim, they began to claim that he was a soothsayer and a teller of mythical and legendary stories to draw attention to himself and to lure people to his claim to be a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to instruct them in the worship of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has no equal and no partner. The Arabs were steeped in shirk, in idolatry, and the Kaaba was packed with numerous idols which they loved and they adored and they worshipped. How could ages of idol worship, centuries of idol worship and reverence be removed to make way for the worship of one Allah, for Tawheed, to replace shirk as the creator and the sustainer? How is it possible now? Imagine, thousands of gods are being worshipped by the Arabs, the whole of Arabia. One man comes, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he must change the whole scene. He must change. He must invite these people, the Arab people, to Tawheed from shirk. Leave all your gods, leave all your idols. La ilaha illallah, and I am Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is this possible that one man can achieve this? So his enemies, the leaders of the mushrikeen and kafirin, started accusing him and leveling all kinds of allegations against him. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies in this particular way to them all. They were steeped in shirk. And as I said, the Kaaba was surrounded with all kinds of idols also. There was no thought in their minds that they could ever fail in their bid to nullify and exert pressure on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were in the majority. It was like 99% against 1%. Actually, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even less than 1% of the population. Now, how is it possible that 99.9% can be overwhelmed by one person alone? Ajib. You know, this is a real miracle that we as Muslims need to understand. And that is why these lessons are so important, because it gives us a grasp of how shirk was removed from the whole of Arabia in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In 23 years, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed to remove from the whole of Arabia shirk altogether. How was this achieved? Subhanallah. And think of the time he spent in battles, in jihad, and yet it was removed. What a powerful prophet he must have been. So there was no thought in the minds of the majority of people that they could ever nullify or exert pressure on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to abandon his beliefs and teachings and practices, or they could force him to leave Arabia and to go elsewhere. They claimed that he was a narrator of fairy tales, of myths, of legends and people should not pay attention or listen to him, that they should plug their ears, or they would also be affected by him, and they would become affected with madness like he was. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended his beloved messenger by saying, "Wala bi qawli kahinin." These words my messenger is telling you, "Wala bi qawli kahinin." Nor is it the word of a soothsayer. Surah Al-Haqqah, 69 Surah Al-Quran Majid, ayat number 42. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear. To end off this particular number, the unbelievers, among other allegations, began claiming that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was terribly distressed, and that he was reciting, what he was reciting was a product of stress and immense fatigue that caused him to have delusions and all kinds of fantasies and dreams and mythical inspirations which were unfounded and irrelevant, and people should pay no heed to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again cleared Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa of their false assertions as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa." We have not sent down the Qur'an to thee, O my Prophet, for thy, to distress you, for distressing you. Surah Toha, 20th Surah Al-Quran Majid, ayat number 2. The above examples bear out the eminence, dignity and elevated status of Rasulullah sallam as a Khatam al-Nabiyyin and Sayyid al-Mursaleen, the leader of the Prophets. This is where we will end off today's lesson. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must accept these lessons. Allah must make that lots of people can derive barakat from this. We have perhaps two more lessons on the subject next Sunday and the following Sunday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept on behalf of all of us, forgive all of us, Allah have mercy on all of us, and may we all meet on the day of Qiyamah in the Mahshar. May we all drink from the Hawza Kawthar, from the cups and goblets that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hand to us, and may we all enjoy the Shifaat al-Kubra, the intercession of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us and all our families, all our deceased. Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.